Hey, it's the Rampler, here on the Overnight Scape Underground, therampler.com. I'm your host, Frank Edward Nora, currently 9:13 a.m. on Thursday, March 12th, 2009. I just arrived at the Port Authority bus terminal. I need to get breakfast, but I don't have any money. Oh, the same thing happened yesterday. You know, I was going to go to the ATM yesterday, but I didn't remember. And I just wound up buying lunch with my American Express card as well as my breakfast. I gotta get some money. I need food. Look at this. Sweet Factory's closed. Everything is closing these days. I walked past the, I didn't do a Rampler last night, by the way. Sometimes I just need a break, you know? You might imagine. Walked past, out there on Fifth Avenue, walked past the Circuit City, shut down. And it's a shame, because they had a really good bathroom there. You know, it's one of these things in New York City, you know, when you're walking around, you need to use a bathroom, and it's hard to find one. And the Circuit City had a really good one. Like, the Best Buy has one. But it's, like, locked and, you know, it's, like, weird. And but, yeah, Circuit City had a really good one, but they just couldn't last, I guess. They couldn't do it. Oof, what the hell is that? What are they, digging into the ground here? By the restroom? Ah, come on, listen to that. What are they actually doing right now? Like, digging up the floor? I mean, we're on, like, the second floor of this building. What are they doing? This is ridiculous. You know, this is why I shouldn't turn the recorder off in the bathroom. You may have heard the tail end of that. You know, usually if I'm, you know, going to the restroom, I pause the recorder. And you just miss this guy just randomly goes... He's like, I don't know if it's a cough or a yawn or... I don't know what the hell it was. Oh, man. You know, I mean, really. I'm trying to spare you the faint sound of tinkling, and yet we missed something. Last night, man, there was a good conversation going on in the bathroom. Of course, I was not recording. It was that same janitor dude, and he was talking to this other guy about antibiotics. He's like, yeah, they prescribed me these antibiotics. Right? I wrote the exact quote. The other guy's like, yeah, you gotta get these special ones. It's the one they give people in the hospital. It's like, here's the exact quote. You gotta watch yourself, pal, especially in here. You know, I'm trying to say, look, dude, you're working in this most disgusting bathroom ever. You better get some good antibiotics. You know what I mean? This guy, really, if you work in that bathroom, man, you probably should be popping antibiotics like every half hour. You know? That place is dirty, man. And then right after I walked out of the bathroom, another great quote. This is what could have been had I been recording the Rampler. You would have heard that. And then you would have heard this woman yelling. She was looking over the railing at this level down in the bus terminal. She's like, Bernadette, Marcia. Like, yelling to her friends Bernadette and Marcia. Up here. I guess Bernadette and Marcia were lost. So, Bernadette, Marcia. It's like... What am I, watching some TV movie from the 70s? Bernadette and Marcia. Who has these names? Jeez, man. Anyway, I saw The Watchmen. Yes. The movie, Watchmen. Finally, I saw it. And, you know, I had been hearing all this negative stuff about this movie. It sucks. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. I liked it. I don't know what to say. It was like a movie. You know what I mean? It's... Certainly not the best movie ever made, but it's likable. It's a likable movie. And it kind of reminded me of, you know, movies that are... The thing I got from it really was not... Even though everyone would say, oh my God, it's such an ambitious movie trying to do this and that. Look, first of all, I don't hold the Watchmen comic in such regard. There's so many people that... Like, I was talking to my brother, and he had that experience where he said he read it like 20 times when he was an adolescent. I might have just read it once. And I admit, it's good. I mean, I've been reading it, the actual graphic novel. It's good. But, you know, as everyone said, you're not going to be able to make a movie out of it. I was impressed. I mean, it was a decent movie, you know? It wasn't anything incredibly profound, and it was like, you know, I would compare it to just sort of, it's like a fucked up science fiction movie, basically, you know? Like, what came to mind was, like, Zardoz, you know, this movie Zardoz, which I really like Zardoz. In fact, starring Charlotte Rampling, you know, sort of the similar name to the Rampler, Rampling. It's with Sean Connery, and it's just, there's a giant stone head, and it's just, it's a future society, and it's just, I like Zardoz, but it's kind of a mess and kind of incoherent. So that's kind of like what Watchmen was like for me. And also, I don't know why, very randomly, I thought of another movie that had maybe a similar tone. Just a movie, not the greatest work of art ever. But you know this movie, Fright Night? I was a big fan of this movie back in the 80s. It's a very passable film. It's a horror comedy horror film. You know, it's about this guy who's the host of one of those, you know, the horror TV hosts. And this kid, like a real vampire, moves in next door. And I think it's probably a fairly well-known movie. And just like, it's not the best movie ever, but it's watchable. It's interesting. You know, it's kind of cool. You know, and to me, Watchmen's the same way. It's not like this ultra profound, like the friggin' Dark Knight. That movie sucked. I don't like Dark Knight. And it was trying to be overly profound and philosophical, and it was just a piece of shit, in my opinion. I think Watchmen could easily have gone there, but it just didn't. It was just, I think overall, very well cast. I mean, and I think the movie, just for Rorschach, the Rorschach was perfect. Everything about Rorschach was perfect. The actor, the voice, the costume, the special effects, the thing about the face, everything. Everything Rorschach was perfect. I think the casting was great. I mean, I think the Night Owl guy, excellent casting. Silk Spectre was okay. And, you know, Ozymandias probably could have been a little better. But and I thought Dr. Manhattan was good. I thought, you know. So I've been reading these just insanely critical, and I was tending to agree with these people, because I don't like the director. I didn't like that movie 300 at all. I thought it was awful. I actually thought it was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. So I mean, so I tended to sort of believe the negative stuff, and people. But I'm telling you, the movie's good. It's. I would definitely watch it again. Definitely, it's one of those movies that you could probably watch over and over again. It's just entertaining. It's. But like I'm trying to say, like Zardoz or Fright Night or any of those kind of movies. It doesn't give me the sense that it's trying to achieve much more than what it achieves. And it just, like, just sort of a semi-incoherent, just sort of a messed up science fiction movie, you know? I don't know, I mean, I was impressed. I mean, I'm totally surprised, considering all the negativity I'd heard about it. But what's better than, I mean, the whole Rorschach thing is just so great. October 21st. 1985, the city is like a cesspool. You know, there's just something so great about that, and his costume and everything. You know, I realize there's a Street Fighter character named Q, right? You know this? Look, Capcom may not be the most original company. Like, Q is just like Rorschach. He has the same exact outfit, except he's like a robot, or he has like a metal face, and he's named Q. Gee, real original, didn't Star Trek? Well, like then again, look, it's a letter of the alphabet. And you know what I mean? I don't think Star Trek can claim that they own the letter Q, right? Wasn't Sesame Street? Today's show is brought to you by the letter Q and the number 14. Yeah, Sesame Street, man. What's going on out here? Is it cold? Is it hot? Is it rain? No, what? I don't even know. It's just kind of cold. What the hell am I going to do for breakfast? I don't know. Are there any banks around here? Because now, you know, the bank I was using was... Originally, when my wife and I went to this bank, it was the Dime. The Dime Savings Bank. In fact, Branch 209. Talk about numbers. My favorite number, 209. Yeah, Branch 209 of the Dime Savings Bank. You know? I mean... You know, we talked about weird bank names like the Chemical Bank. Like, what the hell's that? What's up with that? They got a bunch of chemicals in there. Hey, all right. Hey, let me get one of those. Hey, got some news. Of course. Right, the Chemical Bank. What the hell's that all about? But of course, how about the time? Yes, you're naming it after money. Bank money makes total sense, right? So anyway, that only lasted a few years. Then they got purchased by Washington Mutual, which somehow they thought, hey, our name is Washington Mutual. Why don't we call ourselves WAMU? And then they proceeded to a branding scheme that I cannot think of anything worse. They chose, like, the most horrible, like, weird, messy font that was, like, you know, like one of those emigre or T26 kind of just really whacked out fonts. Just did not work. And they put it all over their banks. And that's years ago on the show, I actually had an incident on that I described on the Overnightscape where, like, the bank no longer, like, they said, we're not going to have the tellers anymore. Everything's open and, like, you can go walk up to any sort of counter or any desk. And it was so goddamn confusing. I wound up getting in arguments with these people. You know? Someone did something like that. Like, you, like, made a promo for... Of course. The sounds of New York. Someone made a promo or something. Or they used a recording of me talking about the bank. I think it was that Michael Anthony and Chris Paulus. You know, the guy that was... Chris Paulus, the guy that got upset when I was trying to raise money for WFMU on Twitter. Thanks. For a few hours, I'm tweeting to try to raise money for WFMU, and he's, like, complaining about it. You know what I mean? People will complain about anything. That's basically what's going on here. Ay, ay, ay. What am I going to do with... See, all right, so anyway, then it was Washington Mutual, which the bank just... Everything about it, they're all their theories about marketing and branding just sucked. Sucked. Awful. Absolutely awful. So, then, of course, they failed, and now they got bought by Chase. So now I could go to a Chase bank. I never, you know, I don't want to have to pay the whatever friggin' $4 fee to use another bank's ATM, whatever it is these days. So, but if I find a Chase bank, I think there's actually, is there one up here? I don't know. I think there's one in Times Square or something. I don't know. Ooh, this guy is delivering a metal pole. Oh, maybe it's like a prop for a stage play or something. I don't know, man. I gotta get some money and some food, basically. Which, yeah. Those are some of the more important things, you know? Well, food, really. Let's see what's in the news here. So, but anyway, yeah, Watchmen is a good movie. Not the greatest movie ever, and not, like, the most profound movie ever. But just, like, a good science fiction movie. I don't know. So I was completely surprised. And maybe someday I'll see it in a better way. You know what I'm saying? My brother's going to see it tonight. Maybe I should go see it in the theater. That might be good. I don't know, though. I don't know if I want to... It is kind of long, you know? Like, that's the whole thing. You know? When do you want to say, okay, for the next 3 hours, I'm going to be sitting in this movie theater? Ugh. You know, half hour here, half hour there. You know, it's a much more conceivable. Here we go. Here's the news. Risks reward found in former IT locales. What? Real estate pros seeing swift declines in recent hot neighborhoods. Small bug, big problem. Oh, God, bed bugs. That's so frightening. Thank God I haven't had to deal with bed bugs. But I know people who have, and it's a very vexing issue. The Pogues. Oh, look, wow. There's the Pogues guy. Nice. The band, you remember the band The Pogues? Some good stuff. Really popular in the alternative 80s rock scene. Not your usual spring break. Oh, instead of partying, they're building people houses. Big East proving a tough place to rebuild. I don't know what that means. And let's see what's in the other paper. That was the Metro. Here is the AM New York. New iPod, smaller and chattier. Oh, God, I got to talk about that iPod. What a piece of shit. Stewart faces off with Kramer tonight. Whatever that means. John Stewart and Jim Cramer. Euro food chains move to NYC. Oh, that's interesting. Mayor Moneybags, as economy tanks, Bloomberg's worth source, says Mag List. Let's see what Euro food chains move to New York City. That's the only thing I really care about. The food news. But this new iPod is such a piece of shit. And I got to tell you about it, because I was excited about it until I found out one of the features of it. And then I was very unhappy. All right, let's see. Chain gang. I'm actually standing, and I'm actually standing at a garbage can. It's sort of like a podium. Imagine, I'm sort of like at a podium, like giving an address, but it's a garbage can, and I'm here on 42nd Street. Decoding expiration dates? Donku, Dutch fast food restaurant, features Dutch and Indonesian specialties. 57th between 5th and 6th. Donku, Rouge Tomate, bi-level space, Obika. All right, whatever. All right, enough. See, what's good about using a garbage can as a podium, you can put the newspapers in it after you're done. You know, it's just too cold out here. I think I'm going to go underground. I know, I always go underground. So what the hell am I going to get to for breakfast? This is really driving me. I can go to Zaro's Breadbasket in Grand Central Station, but I need to get money. See, I don't know, man. I don't know. Whatever, I'll figure something out. Maybe there's a Chase bank in Grand Central. I probably walked past it a million times, but why can't it get warm out? It's like freaking May, what? March 12th? I keep saying May. Great. The whole time travel thing. What was I, like, just like in May just yesterday, and now I've come back to March again? You know? Who knows? Who knows anymore? I'm getting tired. I mean, I still have those feelings that, you know, I don't know. Time travel feelings. Wow, that one turnstile was totally off. Sorry, I'm still coughing a little bit. I'll take the shuttle over. So, you know, recently on the Rambler, I've been talking about, you know, regular talk radio on the airwaves and how it's been sort of disintegrating. Well, another talk radio show, Opie and Anthony, is now off the airwaves. Opie and Anthony are, you know, morning DJs, somewhat in the vein of Howard Stern. And I always thought they were very good. I was a fan of both shows, even though those shows... those guys, like, hate each other, Opie and Anthony and Howard Stern. Ooh, music. Oh, it's the Ebony Hillbillies. There they are. They're tuning up, getting ready to go. Good stuff. I'm talking about music. You know, I've really been enjoying this Fish. You know, the band Fish got back together, and they released their shows for free. They did three shows, March 6th, 7th, and 8th, over this past weekend, and released them online for free. So you don't even have to pirate it. They're giving it to you for free for a limited time. Track 3. So I've been really enjoying the music, but there's sort of another story, which is that supposedly they hired or they paid for 200 police to police their concert. And these people, like, you know, the people going to Fish concert are going to be, like, on drugs. So the police confiscated, like, they said, like, $1.2 million worth of drugs. And then there's this freaking law. There's a law that really is awful. If you were even found with, like, an ounce of pot or whatever, you know, a little bit of marijuana or whatever, like, the police can now take all your money, right? They can take all your money. So they, I think they got something like $68,000. How awful is that? I mean, it's just, so did, like, people are wondering, did Fish sort of set that up? I mean, I don't know, maybe they should have warned their fans, like, hey, you know, don't bring some drugs, you know. Can you imagine you, someone, you know, a real peaceful, like, hippie type and, you know, with, you know... Hold on. All right. I need personal space to record. Also, I took this opportunity to switch out batteries, which is a good idea. Yeah, just imagine, like, some peaceful hippie dude, you know, he's got a little bit of pot in his pocket. He's going to smoke some weed at the Phish concert, which, you know, not to be unexpected. Which would not be unexpected. And the cops are like, and then say the guy has, like, $200 in his pocket. The cops are like, oh, you got some weed. Hey, give us all your money. Give us your money. Right. Give us your money. It's a law. Forfeiture. If you have any drugs, we get to take all your money. What the fuck? What kind of law? Who passed that law? What kind of fucking assholes passed that law? Someone's caught with a little personal amount of weed, which would normally be, I imagine, some like a misdemeanor, but then they get to take all your money. What the fuck? Sorry, I know I'm cursing a lot today, but it's pissing me off. So, I don't know, man, because this is what I don't get, okay? First of all, I don't know, who knows what Phish had to do? They had to hire this, you know, maybe their insurance costs or whatever, they had to make sure, you know, that there's no violence or whatever, fighting, but when it comes to this drug thing, okay, either, wouldn't this be something that's known? Like, well, they're going to search you when you go in, so maybe don't bring drugs, you know, maybe like, I don't know, take some drugs beforehand, or I don't know. right? I mean, was there an unexpectedly high level of security at this event? Like, would Phish fans, you know, they have brought all these drugs, like, assuming that it would be very light security, but it was very heavy security. You know what I mean? Like, what? I don't quite get it. Or are these people, like, just, even if they only have a tiny chance of getting it in, they gotta bring drugs to take drugs, you know? Here we are in Grand Central. And I'm out of, I gotta find some bank. Is there a Chase? I hope it's Chase. And I don't know, because I only have $2. And I'm not gonna get much food with $2. What was that place? Remember that place I went, Dishes, where I got breakfast and it was like $14 for breakfast? I don't know if it was that much, but it was like an orange juice and like a croissant or something was like $8 or $9 or something. It was just ridiculous. This is, ooh, it is Chase. Look at that. Wow. I kind of had, honestly, I passed by this place so many times, but it's Chase, yes. And my card will now work at Chase. So let's go to the ATM, shall we? It's safe because you can't see my secret code because it's audio. Ooh, look at that. I recognize that graphic. Because, I don't know. I've seen it before. Come on. Can't print receipts. Right, let me try another one. I don't know. Already it's a shoddy experience, you know. Hey, look at that. It's not exactly the same, but it's very similar. Listen to the noises this ATM is making. Great. You know what? Let me just hit cancel. Okay. All right. Let me try another one. What's up with these ATMs? All right. Let me try the one all the way to the end. This is probably the more obscure one. The first one doesn't print receipts. The other one is like buzzing. Come on, man. Ooh, there's a shield so people can't see you entering your secret code. fast cash. Yeah, I don't know. What should I get? $60. I would like a receipt. Why am I still coughing? I'm still sick. No, I'm not. Please take your cash. I can't believe that picture of cash they use has to have the word specimen on it. No, I thought that on the screen that was real money. Yeah. All right. So what else we got here? Receipt. I think we're done. Thank you for banking the chains. What's up with these machines? Well, look, this is Grand Central Station. They must get pretty heavy usage, Joe's. machines. Oh, nice. Holy shit, look at this. This is what you want to see. Nice. Let me go stand over here. I got to take a look at this. This is that, like, picture you see a lot of Grand Central Station, the giant windows, and the sun is streaming in, and you actually can see the rays of the sun in sort of the dust in the air. Is the air that dusty? Great. Great. I wish I could find a spot where I get a little bit of... Why do people, like, need to stop right next to me? I need my personal space to do the show. I know I'm standing right here. But look, that is so beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Oh, it really is beautiful, though. It's a classic image. The sun's streaming in here into the waiting room. Beautiful lighting, everything. I love it. So, I had so much stuff to talk about. Oh, yeah, Opie and Anthony. The station, they were on K-Rock, which Howard Stern used to be on K-Rock, and Opie and Anthony... All right, this is what happened with Opie and Anthony. They were on WNEW, which was a talk station, all talk. That whole thing collapsed. No, sorry. Around 2003 or something, you may have heard about this. They had an incident where some people on their show supposedly were having sex in St. Patrick's Cathedral. It didn't exactly go down that way, but that's the gist of the story. And they were fired from WNEW for doing that. Eventually... they were off the air for like a year and a half, and finally they got onto satellite radio, XM satellite radio. And I listened to them a lot, especially when they're on satellite radio. I was a fan. And then, I don't know when it was, then they struck a deal to go back on the regular radio. So they still were on XM, but then they also were on the regular radio. And that's around the time I stopped listening to them because the FCC rules were so strict at that point that their regular radio show just kind of sucked. And I kind of lost interest in... Then I kind of lost interest in the whole thing. You know? Which is interesting. But I think it hurt their overall show. And then they had to, like, walk over from one studio to another. And it was... I don't know. So now this station K-Rock, which... They had been trying to keep it in the model of the olden days when Howard Stern in the morning... Howard Stern all morning, classic rock and roll all day, you know. Or alternative rock and roll all day, you know, whatever. But they decided to dump that format completely, and now it's like a top 40, you know, Britney Spears type music, you know, whatever. So, this just happened. On Monday they did a show, and then Tuesday, and then they were fired, or they were let go. So now they're doing the show completely on XM. So it just goes to show you that regular radio, like I was talking about Adam Carolla and all those guys on that talk show out in Los Angeles, that all shut down. This, I think, was related to that because this just happened a little bit later. These stations going to this other format, top 40 kind of format. So, and then also I talked about Citadel Communications and... all the talk stations with Rush Limbaugh and stuff, and how all that stuff sort of collapsing in, that the company was delisted by the New York Stock Exchange because its shares were worth 1 cent, you know. So it seems like regular radio is kind of collapsing, which is really weird, you know. And now I'm sort of, in a way, you know, working on trying to get on the regular airwaves, which has been seemingly, well, WFMU is a whole different kind of deal, but anyway. Let me just read some notes here. I want to get to some of my notes here. Oh, here we go. You may remember something I reviewed on the Rampler. The Tootsie Roll Mini Chews, just awful. And I had another box at work, and I said to myself, I cannot eat this. This is the most disgusting candy ever. I can't eat it. So I put it in the kitchen. So where I work, if you put something in the kitchen, everyone starts eating it. It's like piranhas. It's awesome. I'm like, you know, this candy sucks. But I think. No matter what anyone puts in the kitchen, people will eat it. And I know I do. People put something in the kitchen and I'll eat it. They'll put a bunch of pretzels or cookies, you know. It's very hard to resist if you're walking along and there's some food just to eat it. So, yes, it did properly dispose of my Tootsie Roll Mini Chews. I mean, it's not like they're inedible. I find them unpleasant. The texture, the taste, everything. But, you know. Oh, the other day, you know, when I was making fun of business people when I got all pissed off at that video meeting. I'm like, ooh, what should I call myself? The CEO of whatever, Rambler Company. This is what I was trying to... I realized this is what I was really aiming for at that point. I'm like, ooh, I should just lie and say, oh, hello, I'm Frank, the CEO of General Rambler Industries Incorporated. You know, something like that. General Rambler Industries, that'd be good. Maybe I should make that, I don't know. That should be my company, General Rambler Industries. That's kind of cool. I don't know, get out of here. Yeah, I was listening to... Last night, I was listening to Howard Stern from 1991. I think it was October 22nd, 1991. And he's like, hey, Robin, we're gonna do the news now, and we're going to bring in the white guy from In Living Color. I hear he's pretty funny. You know? Here he's pretty funny, Robin. And it's like, here he is, Jim Carrey. So it's the first time Jim Carrey was ever on Howard Stern, and it's before he became big, you know? And they're talking, and they're like, talked about this movie he did. He's like, how old are you? You're not really a success. And it was kind of really funny just hearing Jim Carrey before. See, but Jim Carrey then became this huge story that Jim Carrey was this huge successful guy, and now it's kind of calmed down. And like, what the hell has ever happened to Jim Carrey? Some other people I'm wondering what happened to. You know this actress Thora Birch? What the hell ever happened to her? She was in, like, American Beauty and Ghost World, and then she just dropped off the face of the map, for the map of the Earth, whatever. Thora Birch, she was kind of hot, right? I looked her up online, and I guess she just, I don't know, her film career is not doing too good, for whatever reason. But I saw her, she was on, there's some clip of her on the Tom Green show. You know, Tom Green did that show from his living room. I don't even know what they're doing with that show anymore. But it was Tom Green interviewing Thora Birch and Neil Hamburger from 2007 or something. So that was kind of cool. Maybe I'll try to find that clip. Whatever happened to her? I don't know. And also the band Placebo. Remember that band? That was such a good band. They had a good... I don't know. I listened to their one album. I don't remember the name of it, but that song Pure Morning... Friend in need, friend indeed. Friend with weed is better. Friend with breasts and all the rest. Friend who's dressed in leather. Right, that's a great song. Whatever happened to them? See, that's the thing when you're working, when you're in this sort of, you know, I talk about how there's this pyramid structure for businesses and the entertainment industry and schools, everything. There's like this pyramid where there's someone on top and then controlling everything. That's not the only way to organize human beings, but it's the predominant one now because everyone's all brainwashed into it because this Illuminati whatever is like imposing it on us. But that's why, like, if someone doesn't do well in the entertainment industry or whatever, like, you don't hear from them again, you know? So like Thora Birch and Placebo, they're like gone. But if it wasn't that way, if it wasn't a pyramid, they could keep doing stuff. I don't know. And I'm sure they are doing stuff, but we just don't hear about it because we plug into the pyramid, you know? So I'm just standing here. Maybe I should go get my bagel or something. I don't know. Let me walk into the sunlight. I want to talk about what's going on in my world of the Overnightscape, the Overnightscape Underground, and the Rambler. Things are definitely changing, slowly but surely, as you've seen. The change is pretty much already done. The change is that I'm doing the Rambler just about every day, and I've been doing the Overnightscape maybe a couple times a month. So that situation is kind of the situation, and it's going to just continue that way. To the point that I think, you know, the Overnightscape will continue, but it's going... Ooh, there's the sun. I'm in one of those sunbeams. Yay. It's kind of bright, though. Ah, hurts my eyes. I need sunglasses in the sunbeam. You know, I'm not going to end the Overnightscape or anything, but I really, really, at this point, it's obvious that, you know, the Overnightscape's slowing down, and I'm not going to speed it back up again. And really, I really want to have my weekends free to do other things. And that was the whole point of the Rambler, and I think I'm going to be moving in that direction. I'm not going to stop the Overnightscape. There will be Overnightscape episodes, but at this point, I really am anticipating that it's possible that there may be long periods of time between Overnightscapes, but this is the continuation of the Overnightscape. The whole point is, that's what this is. OK? okay? And I know people are getting hung up on the semantics of it or whatever, but this is me doing an overnight scape show. This is like 95% exactly the same as the overnight scape. Here's a singer. Yes, Wendy Savette doing her singing here in the dining concourse. It's a concourse because a lot of people walk through, crowds of people walk through it. I learned what the meaning of concourse was. All right, let me get Bagger's. Zaro's bread basket. See how this is going to work out. It's very chaotic. I don't even know where to line up. Fried knish. Hey, can I get everything bagel with cream cheese? No, not toasted. Just a bagel cream cheese. Bagel, but I can't get it. I think that one's mine. Yeah.
Cream cheese.
Bagel and cream cheese, yeah. I already paid for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
A coffee? Coffee.
Wow. A bit disorganized, but it worked out. I got my bagel. And yes, I have room in my pocket to put it in there. I had $2.25 in my pocket. I could have just... I didn't even need to go to the ATM. I had $2.25 and that was $2.20. But yet I gave her a $20 bill and I got all this change. $17.80 change, a 10, 7 ones, and of course 3 quarters and a nickel. Damn, I could have done it so much more efficiently. And I said I already paid for it. I didn't know, was that the person I paid or not? I don't know, it just gets all confusing. I don't know. Another thing that's confusing, of course, is my myriad of shows and websites and everything, which I'm trying to slowly but surely work out. And as I said, you know, the whole point of the Rambler was that I wanted to be able to not obsess on doing radio shows every weekend so I can do other things in my life. Yay. The Rambler system allows me to do that. Like right now, it's the morning, I'm going to work. I'm just taking the time that I would normally take, walking to work, and record a show. So that's the main reason, you know. So, you know, if the overnight escape is going to... But this is the overnight escape, you know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. I could just call it the overnight escape. But to me, it's sort of like, it's... become the Rambler. So I don't really see the point of just saying, okay, now this is the overnight skate. You know what I mean? This is the Rambler. But essentially, it's the same show. So I know some people are going to resist this change, which, you know, it's not like I'm starting off saying, let me declare this huge change. There's no more overnight skate. There's Rambler. It's not like that. And obviously, we're already there. This is not a change. This has been the situation now for several months. But I do think I'm going to formalize it a little bit. I don't know. I'm not sure how yet. I mean, But I'm going to essentially try to say, like, I know, for example, like this, that Lover internet radio. See, this is why I never want to have my show on these other internet radio stations, because now I'm all worried. Oh, I got to call. I got to talk to them now. Maybe they can play some Ramblers. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know. I don't want to let it stress me out. Then now, all the time, these people like, want to get the overnight escape on their talk radio thing or whatever, and I don't know. At least the thing with Frank Moore is a very high profile cool thing that maybe can get me some exposure and stuff. So I gotta contact them, just tell them to play some Ramblers, you know. It'll be really easy luck. I know I said this was the overnight escape, but yeah, switch it over to the Rambler. So I don't know what else I should switch over. Should I make a website? I'm going to be working on all this stuff. It's supposed to be a very peaceful transition. And it's ongoing. I don't want to do anything. What do you want to say? I don't want to make any unnecessarily harsh moves, or you know what I'm saying. I don't feel like I need to. Whatever. We're just going to go with the flow here. But now, as part of that, that's one side of it, is doing the overnight escape, which is sitting in my home studio and doing the show and all this other stuff. The other side of it is the archival material, right? The old stuff. And, you know, the process of releasing it into the Overnight Escape Underground, of course, is not terribly difficult, but it's very, very, very time-consuming. And I have such a backlog, I don't think that, you know, I don't think I will be able to get the entire backlog into the Overnight Escape Underground. And also, it's sort of like, I don't know what it's like. Now, if the Overnight Escape Underground is a million places, people get the Rampler, and if I start jamming it up with 18,000 hours of stuff, whatever. As you can see, I haven't worked it all out yet, but what I have worked out is a concept that I've been working on for a long time, which is called the Overnight Escape Underground Stash, I guess is what it's going to be called. The Stash. I believe that what I'm going to be doing is I have so much stuff, literally hundreds of hours of more interesting stuff of audio that I've been meaning to get out there, and it just in the underground. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try to make this stash and really just dump a lot of stuff in there. I will standardize a file naming convention and a tagging convention so that it will not be chaotic to that extent. But beyond that, I'm just going to dump MP3 files and maybe some other files into a folder. Probably just, I don't know, stash or whatever. We'll figure it out. With the idea that those adventurous among you may explore that at your leisure. And then also, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, like if I bring my laptop in, you know, and before work or after work or during lunch, I can go on there. And I actually could probably go through and start releasing things, since it's all going to be online. So that's what I'm thinking of, creating a stash. So that's going to take care of the issues, you know. So as you can see, I'm really working hard to be flexible and work through these situations, of course, to preserve the show. You know, at this point, preserving the show is it's a different name, it's a little bit of a different format. Obviously, like as I'm walking around, it's very hard to go to websites and play music or whatever, you know, play clips from the internet and stuff. But I can go online on my phone, but you know, it's very limited. So, So anyway, there you go. So anyway, that's the thing. And now I just have to sort of, I mean, where everything is pointing is, you know, I think, you know, moving forward, I think the term the Rampler is going to be my, you know, because as I've said many times, you have to present a single idea to the world. And before it was the Overnightscape, and I love the Overnightscape and everything else, but I mean, if you think about it, I think I'm going to begin to look into how can I begin to say what I'm doing is the Rampler. Either that or just, I don't know, I think the Rampler is the right thing. Because Frank Edward Nora, whatever, the Rampler just works. And it kind of is, I have not ever said, hey, I'm the Rampler, but people call me the Rampler. It's just natural, you know. I'm not going that far. I'm not going to rename myself the Rampler, but the show is called The Rampler with Frank Edward Nora, but people will just call me the Rampler, and that's fine. So from a personal branding point, which, of course, I've never been very good at personal branding, but I'm trying. So probably the Rampler is the right term to use. I'm not saying immediately, but moving forward. So we'll see. It's one of these things where, you know, my goal always is to preserve the project. going through all sorts of different changes and phases and stuff, and you know, different things going on in the world around us, and technology and culture and my personal life and everything else, trying to preserve things. And I think that I think it'll work out. But as I walk around here, look at this place, the M&N Deli that I used to go to. Closed, gutted, just an ugly husk of a former... Well, I mean, it was a disaster even when it was open. Just a complete cluttered, messed up deli with a questionable salad bar and just a completely depressing seating area. But it was cool, though. I went there. That's the one place, I went where I got a bag of, like, the crinkle potato... Whoa! Wow. What the hell was that? The crinkle potato chips, the high-end crinkle potato chips, I started biting into it, and they were all, like, soft and pliable. It had gone totally bad. Probably just expired, you know, but it's gone. And it really, you think, really, and I know I mentioned this Steely Dan album recently. In fact, the last Steely Dan album, which who knows if there's going to be any more, called Everything Must Go. And the theme of it was, you know, things ending, things going away, and you know, like a store is going out of business and they put a sign up, everything must go. Everything must go. Good stuff. So anyway, it almost seems like that album was a few years premature. I forget when it came out, but it... 06 or... I don't know. Steely Dan, of course, have had two albums since their 20-year hiatus. And, of course, some solo stuff and, you know... Whatever. I smell like rice. Oh, okay. It's like a little Greek food cart. I don't know. It smells like good rice, though. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, so I may listen to some Everything Must Go, because that's the whole theme. And that's sort of what we're dealing with now. We're in a time period where everything's, like, falling apart. And, you know, I think that I have the right plan, hopefully, to keep everything going in a good way. But this is not a time period where everything can just remain the same. If I tried that, I think everything would come to a crashing halt. You know, you can't just say everything's going to remain the same and then we're going to keep going, because this is not the way things work. But, I don't know. I think we can keep things going, and like I said, this is not a transition that's sudden. It's ongoing, and it's just been happening, so... There you go. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Rambler, and I'll see you again next time. Goodbye.